Hey guys, welcome back. We're in episode 4 of the podcast. Woo woo. Really exciting to be here. We've got the ball rolling. We're being consistent. We're showing up. And today I want to talk about strengthening yourself in the Lord. I'm going to share just a couple of keys that are in scripture, 3, I think. And before I go into it, if you're feeling discouraged, this is perfect for you. You should stick around. And if you're feeling encouraged, these keys help you stay feeling that way. So you should also stick around. Okay, this is for everyone. I'm going to start off by saying that one of the most annoying things about discouragement is that many times it takes you to a place where you're not just feeling bad about the situation, but then you're starting to question the nature of God. It's not just, oh man, I didn't get that opportunity. Oh, this thing is taking so long to come by. This promise is taking so long to be fulfilled. Many times it becomes, is God really good even? Or that whole thing about him being a kind father, I'm not so certain. And sometimes we won't think that, you know, overtly. You're not going to say it really, that like you're questioning his nature, but that's what's starting to happen in your heart. I think this is an example. There's an example of that happening in the Garden of Eden as well, right? Adam and Eve being tempted by the serpent, and the whole thing is not just, oh, just eat this forbidden fruit. The conversation before that also puts the idea in their minds that maybe God bent the truth a little. You know, maybe he's not a very honest kind of person, and maybe not even a very kind father, because he's actually keeping this from us. So the whole idea of, oh, don't eat this because it's actually not going to be good for you, is now twisted. And it's like, oh, you're keeping that from me because you're not a good father. And so we're going to just dispel those lies, okay, that come with discouragement, and deal with them as the word does, and get the tools that are necessary for us to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Okay, so number one, a good way to become anchored in God's goodness, in the knowledge and the experience of God's goodness, is to collect testimonies. There is a scripture in Numbers chapter 1, verse 53, I think, about how the Levites had to camp around, you know, the testimony, and that was what they did day and night, you know. And the reason is that collecting testimonies, you know, hearing them, sharing them, and just having a whole arsenal, I'll even call it, of testimonies, it keeps you encouraged, it keeps you aware of God's goodness, okay? Revelation 12:11 says, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. So what that looks like is, anytime God does something good for you, say thank you, but also write it down. Or if you're the kind of person that likes to record voice notes, put it in a voice note. But just keep a collection of the things that God is doing in your life, major ones, small ones, things that you're grateful for, so that you can keep looking back anytime you're not feeling that great. You can continue to have perspective of the things that he has done for you, even when you're not seeing what you're waiting for. And that includes collecting other people's testimonies as well. You're totally allowed to do that. I mean, the Bible is full of other people's testimonies, and these stories are part of the reason we trust God, right? It's like, oh, he could do that for the children of Israel. We weren't there, but we've collected these stories and put them into our own collections, to use as ammo for when we're discouraged. Another one is avoid complaining and choose gratitude. So complaining is concentrating on everything that God hasn't done yet, or all the things that are seemingly bad that God has done. I feel like that one's even more dangerous, because I spoke about in the previous video the idea of charging God with wrongdoing. When something bad happens and we accuse the Lord of having done something bad, I think it's quite dangerous, because I watched this video by the Bible Project. Love those guys. You should check them out. So they're talking about the book of Job and this one dialogue. I mean, yeah, interaction between Job and God, where God's like describing this creature, you know, and how terrifying it is and completely dangerous to human beings and how God created it. And I don't even know where that whole description ends, but it's essentially God painting a picture of certain things that he's created in the world that are is harmful to human beings, potentially, if you get close to it, but it's something that he created and works perfectly in his ecosystem and the thing that he's designed. You know what I'm saying? And if you, with our limited perspective, and unless we plug into him, with our limited perspective, now be play judge over what is good and what is bad, and why would you make that? That doesn't even make sense, doesn't work well together. We can miss out and we can say the wrong thing about who God is and what he's up to. I think reading the stories about the children of Israel being, you know, moved out of Egypt and everything that they were facing, and then the words they chose to speak about who God was is a great example of something that we still do now. You know, a temptation that we fall into where stuff happens and we're just like, oh God, how could you? You know, I trusted you. And then, okay, so there's that, there's accusing God of doing wrong, of hurting you. And then there's the other end where you are complaining about everything he hasn't done and you're losing perspective of everything he has done and everything that he is doing currently. So you spend a lot of time just being like, yeah, but you promised. What's happening? Where is it? Why are you taking so long? And Numbers is a scary scripture here. Numbers 14:28, which says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." And in the previous verses, it's the children of Israel grumbling. And God is finally fed up. He's like, you know what? You hate this so much. That's fine. I'm going to do exactly what you guys are saying. And so I know obviously the New Covenant and Jesus, but I think the idea of grumbling and complaining about who God is, I think it still irks God. I think we still can grieve the Holy Spirit by not recognizing the things that he has done, you know, when it's him and he's present, that is in the New Testament. And so I think that's something to be careful about. I think what we can do instead, I don't think we're meant to also live a life where we are not able to ask our Father some questions, but there is a way in which we can do it wisely, right? And we keep from becoming people that complain and just are not fun to be around. I mean, it works the same even with just people you're in relationship with. You're married, you come home, and every time you're home, your spouse just has a lot to complain about. Like most of your conversations are, oh, why didn't you do this? Or why do you always do this? I can't imagine that it's really fun to hang out after a while, you know what I'm saying? So Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So you can have your concerns, you can have your questions about, you know, the promise that you made me, God. But it's covered in gratitude, it's covered in trust that he is good. It's not coming from a place of, I don't even know who you are, God. How do I even know you're going to fulfill this? You know what I'm saying? We're not coming from questioning his nature, but rather trusting in his nature and asking because he is a good father, reminding him of the promises based on the fact that, hey, this is what you said in your word. This is who I believe you to be. And so I'm expectant. You know, you're allowed to talk to your father about the things that are bothering you, but you must never do that outside of the hedge of thanksgiving, which is super key. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So if any of you have been confused about what's God's will for my life, what does God want from me? He wants you to rejoice always, he wants you to pray without ceasing, and he wants you to give thanks in all things. And my mom was preaching about this the other day, and she's like, it doesn't say give thanks for all things. So if something tragic and heartbreaking does happen, it's not like you have to, you know, you tripped over something, and you're like, thanks God for putting that stone in my way. It's it's not that. It's just giving thanks in all things, as life circumstances are playing out all around you, being able to just say, you know what, God, thanks for being present. Because the Bible does say you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So no matter how bad things are, I have your presence here. Thank you for, there's always something that you can thank him for, and your praise will invite him into the situation. Your praise invites the supernatural. It invites his peace. It invites his presence. It invites his favor into whatever you're going through. So I think there's a bunch of other keys for staying encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. But if you just choose to become a person who does not use their mouth to complain about God and everything he hasn't done or every bad thing that he has, then you will stay in peace. He will keep you in peace. That's what the Bible says in that verse after Philippians 4:6. That once you've given thanks, once you've prayed, once you've let him know what you need, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, and you're gonna be fine. And you're gonna learn how to wait. You know, I think that's a significant part of the faith, like waiting for certain things, waiting certain things out, and his goodness will be seen in your life. It will become evident. But yeah, we can just, if we could just slow down on playing judge, if we could just slow down on wanting it all to play out as we wanted, when we wanted, instead choosing trust, being proactive in the wait, you know, working with him, speaking kind words, collecting testimonies, always staying anchored in his goodness and the memory of things that he's done. Man, like, you're just a magnet for breakthrough when you do that. So, yeah, I hope you guys will be able to use that info, and I'll probably share more in the episode to come and other keys that will help us stay anchored in God. Be blessed, and please like, share, and subscribe. Goodbye.